right now, Stephen Brunt. Mr. Brunt, how are you?
Good morning. If you're there, you might as well win it.
If you're going to...
That's the hot take of the day.
It really is.
They've had the stupidest travel schedule. They went out to the East Coast, came back, played six on the road, came back, played one or two, went out to...
Yeah, it was six on the road, came back, played two, left, played two, came back for one, now leaving for two before coming back to play one.
Oh, my God.
And then on the road again for three.
That's awful.
It's really... It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah. No, I... somebody's conspiring against you.
No question, Steve.
Well...
Wouldn't be the first time, right?
Powers that be. They don't want to see a success here.
That's they have a rooting or a non-rooting interest. We all know that.
How was... Now, were you on? Did you make your re-debut yesterday on the...
I can't believe you didn't watch. It's just so disloyal.
Well, of course I watched. I'm, for the sake of drama and for the sake of the show, I'm acting as if I didn't.
I thought everybody watched.
Yeah.
Yes, I was back, and I was back on Primetime Sports last night, the historic reunion.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Yeah, it was touching.
It was touching.
Yeah.
Kind of a lot of tears in the audience, I think, yesterday. And, you know, what can I say? It's I say this is at least my third return to the show.
Yeah.
It may be more. And who knows? You know, I could get exiled again. So I probably shouldn't take this for granted. But for the time being, it's like old times. How about that?
It's almost like wrestling. Right? You're on, and then all of a sudden you disappear. Maybe you show up somewhere else. Oh,
how
look.
Could you do it, Bob? You're all boys,
a little turn here and there.
Now he's over there.
That's... The twin would be good.
Yeah.
You know? It's like the twin referees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Earl and Dave Hebner.
The Hebners, that's right.
That's right.
Those were the glory days. It is very much like professional wrestling. You are correct. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But, what the heck. Anyway, it's a living, and it was trade deadline day, so, you know, and McCowan hates trade deadline day.
Stunning.
Yeah, he does. Well, they put him on TV a couple of times. Like, there were years when he wanted to be part of trade deadline day, because, of course, it's, you know, a big deal, right? And the two TV networks have this ridiculous saw-off, and they get to start broadcasting at 3 in the morning or whatever it is, and he wanted to be part of that, and then as soon as they made him part of it, he didn't want to do it anymore because it involved hanging around for hours and not actually getting much face time. So I think the last time he did it, when they finally brought him on TV, his entire riff was about what a sham and farce the whole thing was.
Right.
So that kind of ended it. You know, unsurprisingly, they actually didn't want somebody on during in the middle of trade deadline coverage saying, "Please turn off your television. This is a joke." So he does it with a certain degree of ambivalence. But you know, we covered the waterfront yesterday as best we could.
I can't help but wonder what it must be like today for guys like Erik Karlsson or Max Pacioretty, guys who are in the rumor mill for so long. And now have to go back into that dressing room. I mean, they're pros and they'll do it. It's not the worst thing in the world, but it's got to be a weird kind of a reception feel when you go back into that locker room.
Well, not just in the rumor mill. Like, both guys pretty clearly wanted out. You know, it's not like, you know, people were forcing their hand. Like, you know, understandably, both guys are kind of done with, you know, Ottawa and Montreal respectively, and were quietly or not so quietly encouraging their general managers to make a deal. So, you know, and once you've kind of, you know, kind of once you get one foot out the door, I think it would be very hard to go back there, and, you know, it can kind of complicate your relationship with the paying customers a bit, to say the least. You know, there's some bar in Montreal, I heard this morning on the radio, I didn't know that, where, you know, they were going to offer discount shots the minute Pacioretty was traded. That, you know, it was like goodbye, good riddance, Max Pacioretty day. Yeah. And, of course, then he didn't get traded, you know, which is a very Montreal thing, right? Montreal hockey, they put you on a pedestal. They, you know, they carve your face into a mountainside, and then they run you out of town. It's that. And then when you're gone, then they really love you. See P.K. Subban. They make it tough on the guy who replaced you. So, yeah, how do you go back? you know, how do you go back and play out the string? You know, look, you're getting paid significantly, and playing hockey is better than not playing hockey, and there's still things, you know, that by the end of the summer, I would guess that neither guy's going to be with his team, but this last couple of months is not going to be fun. And boy, both of those are bad situations, aren't they, franchise-wise? Like, you know, Montreal will survive, obviously, but you look at them and you kind of say, where are you going now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Mark Bergevin's got 4 more years left on his deal. And I don't think Jeff Molson's going to eat 4 years' worth of Mark Bergevin's salary to get rid of him.
Yeah.
You know, and then in Ottawa, like, it's a tire fire. You know, Eugene Melnyk has kind of taken on his paying customers, taken on the fans, and, you know, anytime you do that, you lose. You know, an owner loses. And the idea of that being a team that's never going to be able to spend to the cap, that's, you know, every empty seat is kind of an indictment of the fan base, and trying to get an arena done. You know, the president of the team, the new president of the team, quit a couple of months ago or was fired, not sure which. If you're Eric Carlson, you know, franchise icon who's not an old guy, you know, has some of the prime years of his career ahead of him if he's fully healthy, and that's a big if because I'm not sure he's the same guy right now that he was. But, you know, you want to play out the string for sentimental reasons with the Ottawa Senators. Like, you know, he's got 1 more year left, but you wouldn't extend there with a gun to your head, would you?
No.
Like,
nope.
I would.
No, it is over for sure. And the other side of it is there's the other teammates who are in the room with you knowing full well how badly you want out. And yep. I've worked, even in this business, I've worked with guys who are disgruntled and who were pursuing other jobs or who are in the running for other jobs, and they're no fun to be around.
No.
It becomes very toxic very fast.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Yeah, I would assume other players would look at both of those situations and say, I understand. You know, and were I in your shoes or your skates, I would want to do the same thing. I get it, but. And it's, you know, I would think when you skate out there together, and you know, a big part of team sports is kind of sacrificing yourself for the greater good sometimes, right? That you drop down a block a shot, you do stuff. There are things you don't have to do every night that you want to do because you're trying to win for your team and you're trying to win for your teammates, and you know, to a degree, you're trying to win for the people in the stands. And I would think if a little bit of that disappears, and you know, you're kind of punching the clock and looking at your watch and thinking, boy, I can't wait to get on the golf course and get the heck out of here, that would not make for a happy dressing room. Both of those situations have to be poisonous right now. I feel for the guys there. I don't. There's all kinds of circumstances why, you know, and reasons why those two teams are bad this year, but. You know, Ottawa's the one that really gets you because, you know, they were a goal away from going to the Stanley Cup Finals last year. Not that anybody thought they were going to do that going into the playoffs, but a goal away from the Finals, and now the entire future of that franchise is up in the air. Like, I'm not sure we've seen that kind of a drop ever. That is a real tough one emotionally.
And even earlier this year, we heard from Nathan MacKinnon talking about post Matt Duchene trade, and it wasn't scathing, but he said, you know, Matt wasn't happy and we knew he wasn't happy, and now that he's gone, we're all pulling on the rope in the same direction now.
Well, it was a big he was a big piece of that dressing room, yeah. Or should have been, and then you don't feel like you want to be because you're waiting to leave.
Let me ask you this.
Hey, look, Ray, you've been around, I assume you've been around this kind of situation where there's, you know, a guy who's everybody thinks is going to be gone or wants to be gone. And what's it like to be a teammate in those circumstances?
Well, it's awkward. Hasek in Buffalo, you kind of knew he was leaving, although I'm not sure how or that ever happened. You didn't want to keep him around. I mean, Marty Baron, nice fella. But really?
How does Hasek not win that struggle? Yeah.
But it was weird. I mean, he was different because he didn't get traded. Well, he did get traded out of there for Kozlov. But it's no fun because you know the guy that, and again, it's a key guy. That's the difference, right? When there's a guy that's on the fourth line and you're like, oh, I want out of here. Well, whatever. Too bad for you. That's That's fine. You're making a choice. But when it's one of your key guys, it's awkward. You're dancing around it, and you're kind of – the dressing room's off. Like you said, like McKinnon said, if you don't have everyone grabbing onto that rope and pulling together, and one of your key guys certainly isn't, it just makes – there's such a hole in the dressing room. It's not a cohesive unit. And in hockey, that matters. We talk about – I always questioned you about the baseball stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's different in baseball. But in hockey – you have to be together.
Yeah. Like, again, I'm not saying, and I say this from no experience at all, but, yeah, baseball is an individual game played by teams. You know, that it's a bunch of individual moments. And there's very little rah-rah stuff because it doesn't do you any good. You know, if you go up to bat, it doesn't matter if, you know, you're sometimes it's actually not a good thing to be all pumped up. But in sports where you have to kind of sacrifice physically, where you have to make choices about how hard you're going to play and whether you're going to endure some pain, whether you're going to be unselfish. You know, baseball, you don't have to worry about any of that stuff. But in hockey or in football, to a degree, probably in basketball, yeah, I think that emotional stuff must matters a ton. You know, that's why you see teams overachieve and underachieve. You know, it's one of the reasons. It's why it's not just about pure talent. Why teams sometimes, I watched that team in Las Vegas, and those parts to me don't add up to first place, but something's going on there.
That might be, and we talked a bit about it yesterday. And there's no absolute way to calculate it, but there may not be a more together team than that because of how they were put together. They were cast off to a certain degree. And
then the massacre in Vegas too.
Yeah, I mean, the obviously tragedy brings them together, but here's a group of guys that weren't wanted. We weren't wanted by our old teams, and now we're here. And look at us go, right? Where do you feel chemistry comes in? Because was it Lubo yesterday?
Lubo yesterday, yeah. We were talking.
He said he's got a buddy that texts him all the time. As soon as we start talking about chemistry and cohesion in sport, that there's lots of teams that have won championships. And we're clearly dysfunctional. What's your take on it?
Well, I would agree with you. There have been teams where they're just talented enough that it doesn't necessarily matter. That if everybody, even if they're playing for themselves to a degree, I'm not sure I've ever, like any workplace, locker rooms, clubhouses, dressing rooms, there are divisions. There are cliques. There are guys who like each other and there are guys who don't like each other. You know, that's the human thing, right? That kicks in. And I have, and generally, the kind of the mystical, the kind of mystical chemistry thing I've generally dismissed. I generally would say the best team wins, the most talented team wins. And, there are X factors, like over four rounds of the Stanley Cup playoffs, there are so many, it's almost like another season, and there's so many other factors that can play in over that time that, maybe the best team at the end of the season or the best team in the middle of the season is not going to win in the playoffs, but that's still it's still kind of about being good and being, good at the time that matters and being healthy and a whole bunch of stuff. But then, and there have been loads of teams full of misfit toys put together in the past, especially expansion teams, and yeah, they were all the same kind of guys as well, and they finished dead last because they're not that good. So This Vegas thing kind of breaks the mold for me on every level. I was thinking about like McPhee yesterday as a general manager. There has never in the history of sports been a general manager in the position he was in yesterday, which is at the trade deadline in a first season when the whole, and the team was built to the degree it was built in order to be taken apart for futures, right? That's the whole play there was, just accumulate as much future as you can and deal guys off for future because, of course, but he's in first place. What a bizarre spot to be in. Like if they dealt Neil at the deadline yesterday, in some ways that would have made sense.
Right.
Except you can't do that because they might win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. People would have put their mortgages down that at the first trade deadline, they would be bringing in picks and prospects, and instead all they did is they spent three high draft picks to bring in a guy.
Yeah. So that's never happened in sport. I'm sure someone will come up with something close, but I haven't got one of those. And I haven't got an explanation as to why that team is really good, except for the kind of stuff that you mentioned, that was alluded to at the beginning there. That would suggest that it's true sometimes. Like, you know, and again, what did we all think when those guys were in first place at Christmas? Well, that was nice, you know, but it's going to wear off, right? Mm-hmm. Because they'll turn into a pumpkin because they are who they are. But they have sustained it. And, you know, when you watch them play, there is kind of a cohesiveness about that team. You know, and again, I'm not sure that's just because everybody likes everybody, but there's a level of confidence there that is not, you know, just doesn't kind of go with the names on the back of the jerseys.
They haven't had enough time to get sick of each other yet.
Well,
you spend a few years together with people, you get sick of each other.
Yeah, and maybe there's not, you know, the kind of hierarchy in there. Maybe everybody's a little more equal on some teams, but you always say, well, there's no magic in the world. Well, but that's magic. So I guess that's the exception that proves the rule.
Give him your Rick Nash take. While we're talking about cohesion and teams that seem to be working, the Bruins go and add Rick Nash, who is one of the more talked about guys at the deadline. Rhett is not a fan.
I'm not a fan of Nash. I don't think he's the player he was. And I'm
just the trade.
The whole trade in general. My thoughts are, if you're in first, second, third place, and you look like the best team in the league, which I think the Bruins were, I don't know if they are after the trade, but I do think they were, because they were playing as a cohesive unit. They did have that...
Whatever it is.
And they go and move guys out that have worked hard and have earned their role on the team, and we're all pulling together. And I just don't think if you're a top team, you need to tweak it. I think those guys that have worked that hard to put you in that position deserve the right to fight for that playoff run, to fight for that chance at the cup. And I think that you mess up your room when you go and, oh, I'm going to add just this little piece. I know I got to give up a first rounder, but this extra 5 goals might be the difference. It never turns out. And I think you ruined the room. I would rather go with the guys that got me there.
You know, I understand bolstering a good team, but I thought that, and again, I may be proven completely wrong here, maybe you too, but that's one of those deals when I heard it, that's the kind of, you know, there's always at the end of the playoffs, you look back at the trade deadline, and it's, you know, again, it's always a bit shocking how few of these deals actually make a difference for teams, right? A lot of them, you just go, well, that didn't really change anything. But I think that's one that's going to look bad. And it's not... For the reasons you said that, you know, Boston is a really good hockey team playing really well. There is kind of a cohesiveness there. They were going to be a really tough out for anybody. Now they're the first two rounds, which would, you know, be Tampa and the Leafs probably one way or another. It's a tough challenge, and you got other teams. You got Pittsburgh who are coming together and all of that stuff. But yeah, I love that team. But the other thing is, what's Rick Nash? You know, he's the biggest name on trade deadline day, but he's like, that's past. You know, he was great for the Rangers when they went to the finals, but otherwise hasn't been great in the playoffs. And he's the kind of player who I just don't think that guy at that age is what the league's all about right now.
The guy that gave up has more points per game since the beginning of last year.
Yeah.
Never mind the first.
I mean, on paper, it looks really cool.
I just don't understand. And mine is more, it's not even a slight against Nash. It's just the whole, the philosophy of it in general. I just don't get it. Because the history, we've seen it. And so have all the GMs. When does it work?
Yeah, for every Gabrick that works, there's about two dozen that don't, right?
Yeah. Well, it's like everybody every year trades for Thomas Vanek. he gets traded every year because somebody says, well, you know, if you look at his pure skills, he'll score some goals for us. And then, you know, a year later, somebody's given up on Thomas Vanek because that's what he is. But, yeah, I just think Nash is not I don't see any reason why he would be a factor in the spring of 2018, the way the game is played right now. Now, again, I may be crazy wrong, and he may redefine the role of power forward and score a ton of important goals for the Bruins and be just what they need. But it's almost a sucker play, you know, because you're trading for what he was, and you're trading for what he was in a different league. Is that just the game was different when he came along, and people thought, you know, when people kind of thought about what he could be, it was based on the way hockey was played when he was drafted, and hockey's different now.
We were laughing yesterday with Thomas Vanek because we do obviously big shows on trade deadline day, and we do it July 1st. Every free agency day and every trade deadline day, we're talking about Thomas Vanek.
Exactly. Yeah.
Signing 1 year deals, and then it doesn't work out, and he's getting dealt.
I think it's 8 times he's been dealt now. I believe somebody came up with that number yesterday. Yeah, it's Suitcase Vanek, indeed.
Yeah. Getting and probably paid by about 3 teams at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Somebody told me a good one about it's hard to eat when you aren't hungry. That was the analogy when it came to a guy like Thomas Vanek.
Yeah, that sounds about right to me.
Hard to eat when you're full. Hey, have a great week, man. We'll talk to you on Friday.